Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
Thank you so much for listening with Exploring Missions today. This is actually Nathan Harper, and we are privileged to not only come to you through radio, podcast, however you might be listening, but we also have a privilege of hearing today from a couple of my good friends from several years back. We have them online with us today. We're going to hear some of their story and what they are preparing and planning to do in the area of missions. So today we are listening to and hearing from Jonathan and Wendy Baker. Jonathan, Wendy, thanks for being with us today. So can you, maybe Jonathan, I think you and I go back all the way to Northeast Mississippi Community College.
That's right.
And I'm not going to say the year because, number one, I forgot. And number two, it'll tell how old we are.
That's right.
But tell us a little bit about your story, how you came to know the Lord Jesus, and maybe what's brought you to the point of answering a call to missions and what that looks like for you.
Okay. Be glad to. You know, our story may go back a little further than Northeast because our dads were such good friends for many, many years pastoring there in North Mississippi. Growing up in a pastor's home, hearing the gospel all of my life, that was just the norm. And going to college there at Northeast, getting involved in the Baptist Student Union, and then on to Blue Mountain College, those were significant things in my life. I actually didn't come to truly know the Lord until I was about 27 years old in Ripley, Mississippi, where I was pastoring a little church there. The Lord really convicted me that I was a lot like good old Nicodemus from John chapter 3. I was really moral. I knew what religion looked like, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And so way back then, the Lord convicted me of that and showed me the truth and invited me into that relationship with Him. And He changed my life. That night, I won't give you the year, but no, He changed my life and continued our path down a trajectory of ministry. A year and a half after that, moving out to Fort Worth for seminary and continuing in ministry for years here in Texas, in Kentucky, back there in Mississippi. And all the while moving us toward the reality of what He wanted to do where we are now as we're getting ready to go toward missions. And so for me, coming to Christ at 27, it was just that point where I knew the story, but when it became real, I had to tell people.
Yeah.
I had to let people know, and that was the moment for me. You know, during years of ministry, there are several opportunities to be involved in mission projects for me, for us. And back 2010, on separate trips, Wendy and I had to go to North Africa. God planted a seed that began to grow in my heart into what it is today. And I'll let her talk, and then I'll tell more about that if you want me to.
Okay. Well, and just so our listeners know, and you could probably hear it in Jonathan's voice, you'll definitely hear it in Wendy's voice, but these are two of the most likable people you could ever meet. Just, they're some wonderful people. They could sing real good too, but we're not going to sing today. But
thank you.
And I know, Wendy, you've had Africa in your heart for a while, but tell us about Jesus and tell us about how you've come to follow Him to this point.
You're so sweet to say that and to even know that. So I grew up in the same church where Jonathan's dad pastored, and my parents were very strict, and church was a place where I could go anytime. And that's where I developed my friendships and just had the most fun there. It was a safe place. And Jonathan's mom actually was my, she taught teens, and my best friend's mom taught GAs before that, and which are classes for girls growing up about missions. And so even then, like, missionaries in my mind were kind of celebrity status, because that's like, in my mind as a little girl, felt like that was like the ultimate thing to do for the Lord. And we prayed for them in class on Wednesday nights and did mission projects. So that was even before I really became a follower myself, before it became personal. And I would think I was in about eighth grade when we had like a weekend revival at our church called a lay renewal. And it was at that point over the weekend that I realized I had learned a lot of things about church and about God. And like Jonathan, I knew the right things to do and not to do. And my parents were quick to correct me as well. But it was in the eighth grade that I realized that I needed to make it personal with the Lord. He was calling me to a relationship with him that was much more about what I was or wasn't doing. And it was him that gave me my identity, like, after that. And yeah. I wanted, like Jonathan, to know him better. And I wanted to tell others about him as well. And so definitely had to get that right before he grew me into anything else.
Well, I think it's important to note that for both of you, at different stages of your life, but for both, at a point in your lives, you found out that going to church wasn't enough, being good wasn't enough, knowing the right stories, even having a position of leadership in a church, that's not enough. Jesus is enough, and knowing him personally.
Amen.
And I think that's an important point that you guys are making just by sharing your story. There are people in churches today that are lost without a relationship with God. They've never surrendered their lives totally to Jesus, and he wants to save. And sometimes it's very difficult for a religious person to come to that point of need and recognizing their need for a savior, because it's maybe it's being good sort of comes easy for them, or whatever the case might be. So thank you for sharing that. I know that's, I know you're glad to share it. It might be a vulnerable thing also, but tell us, Wendy, how you felt a specific call to be a cross-cultural mission worker. How did that come about in your life?
So I really do believe that the beginning of that was GAs and ACT teens. And a funny thing to me was when I was in GAs, I remember going up, you know, like during invitation at the end of our worship service one night and shaking Brother Baker's hand and like asking him to pray for me and then asking the church to pray for me. I was probably in third or fourth grade.
Oh, wow.
Because I felt God calling me to be a missionary in Africa. And I never talked to my mom about that to see what she thought at that time. Now that I look back at it, I'm like, maybe, I don't even know if she remembers that. But so that happened. And then, you know, as I grew up, you know, I thought, well, maybe I heard God, some sort of ministry would be just like mission work. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's all the same kind of thing. And just kind of didn't think too much or didn't stick with the missionary call, I guess, that much. And then it was in 2010, Jonathan shared about going with a friend to Northern Africa. I went with a friend also on a different trip to Northern Africa that same year. And wow, it was like, well, you know, like, yeah, it's different. Well, let me back up just a minute. Like, when you go on a short-term mission trip, some people say, well, you can do that work around here. But what God does in people's hearts on short-term trips is sometimes way more beneficial just for the people going, yeah, than it is for the people around those people. Yeah. God really does begin to open your eyes to how he can work that way. And sometimes it depends on where you're going. Like, you start to read the Bible, like, wow, we're here. Like, we're really close to where this was written or how they were living back then. And Jesus just really comes alive to you in certain situations. And it's amazing the work that God can do just through those short-term mission trips.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking today with Jonathan and Wendy Baker as they have shared with us their call to know Jesus personally, you know, saving relationship with him, but also called to serve him. We know you're going to Africa. Tell us a little bit more specifically about where in Africa, when that will occur, what that sort of looks like for you. And also, can you introduce some of your family to us? You got a pretty large family, a great family. Tell us a little bit about your family as well.
Well, we are getting ready. Wendy and I have 5 children. Our 3 oldest are in their 20s. Our oldest daughter, her husband, Wes. All 3 of our older girls and Wes are going to be staying in the DFW, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where they have jobs and things like that. For us, our 13-year-old daughter and our 11-year-old daughter, our son, Waverly and Chandler, they're going to be going with us. And we are expecting to leave this summer around mid-June, we think. We've got to go through orientation. And then we're moving to Cape Town, South Africa.
All right.
And they're going to be serving the Lord there in the Cape Town Baptist Seminary.
Awesome. Now, I've heard that's a long plane flight. Have you already worked out the logistics on that?
We have not seen our flight yet. We 2 years ago, we were able to go. We took a family mission trip to Lusaka, Zambia. Mm. We had to fly into Johannesburg as part of the connections there, and it was a considerably long flight.
I hear you. It's not one of those over and back kind of trips.
Yeah, it's not that.
Well, tell us a little bit about the family dynamic of the age range of your children that will be going. How much are they on board? Is that a struggle? Has that been a thing that they've had to work through? Or is it just nothing but excitement? What does it look like around your house?
It depends on what day it is, actually. No, 2 years ago, going to Zambia, one of the reasons that we took that family trip is for the last 4 or 5 years, as the Lord has been dealing with Wendy and myself about his call on our lives and ministry, our 13-year-old daughter, Waverly, began to express that maybe God would use her in missions. Mm. And so in looking at her desire, her words, we thought, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to see about setting up an opportunity to get her on the ground and let her experience a short-term trip.
Yes.
And so she, along with Chandler and Wendy and I, went to Zambia, and we served there for a couple of weeks. I think that for us was a confirmation that kind of ignited a fire with all of us.
Okay.
Waverly is excited to go. She believes God is leading her, calling us to go. She, as well as Chandler, struggled with the idea of leaving friends, mainly leaving their big sisters behind. But as a whole, there's just an excitement about what God's calling us to do.
Mm. Now, I want to just kind of contrast that a little bit as well, though. When we knew, when God gave us confirmation that that was what he wanted us to follow him in doing, we also knew that we were going to be leaving a lot of things behind, a lot of our people behind. And so we've also been kind of in a grieving process for the last a year and a half or 2 years, because not only have we said goodbye to a lot of our things in our house, which those haven't really made that much of a difference in our hearts, but our people, you know, we've been saying goodbye to grandparents and aunts and uncles and our oldest girls for a long time. And that's the hardest thing. But I was just thinking through that this morning again, and God reminded me that he said that if we're not willing to leave our people behind to follow him, then we're not really worthy to have his word, to take his word anywhere. And that's like one of the hardest lessons I think I've ever had to learn. But he's teaching us over and over again that he's worth it. And he will take care of us. And he has shown us over and over again. Like, I've had a picture of like somebody training a puppy recently, because it's like he keeps doing good things to confirm each step we're taking. And it's like we need a little more of that right now.
Right.
And it's so sweet of him and gracious of him to just keep showing us, okay, you're doing good. Keep coming this way. and we're following him, and it's hard and it's sad sometimes, but it's a really sweet place to be.
Mm. That's a good word. I know there are listeners who they might be working through a specific call of the Lord on their life, and it's good for them to hear what you as parents are thinking through and going through, what saying goodbye sort of looks like. But also to have, you know, you have faith and confidence and hope in the Lord through the reality of the emotional difficulty and the distance that there will be for some family members. And are there any other, I don't know what you would call them, challenges or maybe even just hesitations on your part that you've had to work through, just questions that you needed answered or maybe still unanswered, anything like that, that you're in this preparation mode? Sometimes it's work, right? It's not easy.
Sure.
And you're still working currently, so it's not like you have a lot of the time to process everything all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What are some of the things y'all are dealing with?
Well, I think the big step that has happened over the last few months was packing up our home, selling our home that we've been in the last 5 years. And a big hurdle was we thought we were going to be able to take a pet. And we've had to get rid of all of our pets. Mm. And that was a struggle more for the kids than for us.
Right.
No, it wasn't more for the kids.
Well,
you've been shedding a tear over that.
Yeah. Okay.
Jonathan, do you have a soft spot in your heart for some, is it a puppy or a cat or what do you have?
A puppy.
Yeah. Occasionally.
Our beloved Colin.
Yeah. But that's one of the things, you know, we've been in this process for a while and it's a really long goodbye.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
One of those things, you know, trying to navigate some of the decisions that we need to make as far as which bank account is best for international use. And some of those things are there, but some of the business decisions that need to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Those are big.
Yeah.
But
even before that, though, like we've been in a process of just being approved. Like that takes a long time. And the IMB has to know all of your information, like all of your information. So all of the medical things, like every doctor that you've been to, they have to have documents. And it's a big process of just doing your homework and getting things to be sent to them. And they have to make sure that you're healthy enough for them to say, okay, we'll send you. And that was, for a while, we thought, oh, we're probably not even going to get approved because of different things, you know.
Right.
So, but it just takes a while.
Yeah,
you know?
Just a long process of trusting the Lord one step at a time.
Yeah. I was asked recently by a student in my current Bible classroom if we ever doubt our call. And my response to that was just about every day. And when I look at that and I explain to them that most of the times I question what we know God is calling us to in our lives, it's based on something emotional.
Mm.
The emotion of leaving our older girls, that's hard.
Yeah.
The emotion of change. I mean, most of us don't like change. There are those things, but one of the things that we have seen every step of the way is that when a question arises, God answers that question loud and clear.
Hmm.
That his call is not emotional.
Yeah.
His call is bigger than that. And while there are the emotions that we go through, he just consistently has shown up and really has shown out to meet our needs and answer our prayers all along the way.
Mm, that's awesome. So you mentioned you're currently teaching a Bible class. Maybe briefly tell us what you guys are currently doing, and we'll be wrapping up. And then what are you going to be doing when you get to South Africa, when you get to Cape Town?
Well, after 15 years of pastoring, the Lord led us to move back out to Texas from near our hometown there in North Mississippi. And I ended up in a high school Bible classroom at a Christian school out here. And so for the last 8 years, I've been a high school Bible teacher and coach. And that plays an instrumental role in God's call in our lives, because the more I teach scripture, the more I understand God's global heart.
Yeah.
And I began to notice that a lot of my teaching, whether in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, is very missions focused, mm-hmm. very get the gospel to the ends of the earth focused. So these 8 years have been preparation for us, because when we land in South Africa, I am going to be teaching evangelism and missions in the Cape Town Baptist Seminary there.
Okay.
Primary role, they have about 100 students each year. And so I'm going to be training pastors and missionaries on the ground there to carry the gospel beyond Cape Town into all parts of Africa. They have students from 8 different countries around Africa, and then some students from South Korea as well. And so I will be teaching there at the seminary.
That's awesome. I do have to say, South Koreans are everywhere. You know, if there's a mission, you know, to carry out the gospel mission, you'll find some South Koreans there. That's pretty awesome.
Sweet. That's so awesome.
I want to circle back to one thing, and you kind of answered it already, but Wendy, I want you to kind of, if you don't mind, just sharing your heart about, I know there's different, maybe philosophy even on, like, when a family is called to the mission field, does each individual have to have a specific call, or is it just a general call for the family, and sometimes the wife may just go along with her husband or something like that? And I know that's not the case for you, but could you maybe just talk about that, and maybe there's a young lady, a mom, a wife who is just dealing with her own acceptance of a call. Maybe she's struggling through something. I don't know. Can you just share a little bit about your thoughts on that? Sorry to put you on the spot.
How much time do we have?
Well, technically we have about 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. This is a big one.
Yeah, I saved it to the last. Sorry.
No, you're good. I don't have all the answers, but this is something that we've struggled with. Over our years, and I've had other friends who had the same struggle with their spouse, and like, how do I know if I feel like God's calling me to something, but then my husband's not hearing the same message?
Yeah.
And who's the one who's listening to God? Who's hearing him correctly and who's not? And, you know, who needs to get on board? These are all questions that I've had over the years. And to be honest, like, I've sensed that call a long time ago, and where we've served missionally, we've tried to do that. But honestly, when we went to Zambia a couple years ago, I had sort of given up ever doing mission work for a career. I just laid that down, because you don't go by yourself. If you're married and you feel the call to something, but your spouse doesn't, then it just doesn't work. It's sort of, I won't say it cancels out, but you're a team. And what God joins together, He's not going to separate to do His work. But it just, it's not how He does things.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I had laid that down, because my husband is my leader. He's the leader of our home and our household. I truly believe God set that in order that way a long time ago. And it was God who did the work to show Jonathan, hey, this is something I love, and I really could see us doing this. And Jonathan was the leader in this whole process this last time. And so, and our family, you know, our kids, they kind of feel like they have to go with us. I'll say that this morning, Chandler and I had a conversation on the way to school, and somebody at school recently asked him what he thought about being a missionary kid. And he said, well, it's going to be good for my mom and dad, but he was acting like it was not going to be good. And I was like, buddy, do you think God would make it good for us and not make it good for you? Like, do you think that's the kind of God He is? And he was like, well, no. But, like, you know, like, he's just down in the dumps because he's going to miss his friends right now. But I fully believe that God called us all. He didn't just have plans for me and for Jonathan, that He has plans for our Waverly and our Chandler, and they don't see it right now. We don't see all the things God's going to do or how He's going to use us in specific ways, but He definitely called all of us, and we believe he's calling our older girls as well, because they're giving us to this mission as well, and they're going to be supporting us from home, and we believe that God's called us all into this
absolutely
together.
Awesome. That's thank you so much. Go ahead, Jonathan.
If I can add, you know, and I have to acknowledge in this whole process, I am definitely the slow one. But
somebody's got to be, right?
Yeah, right. I knew when she came back from the Northern Africa trip in 2010 that if I had been ready to sell everything that day, she was ready to go.
Yeah.
I knew that. But I think it's a matter of timing.
Yeah.
If God is calling a family, he will get both on board.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it took me, 10 years, 12 years. But it's one of those things where she sensed God's call immediately. For me, it was a gradual process, and I began to connect the dots of what he was doing in my heart, in my classroom, in our lives. And then culminating that 2 years ago in Zambia, where it became really clear that God's desire for us was to serve him in a different context.
Yeah. Awesome. And tell them about what your dad, the thing that you said that your dad used to tell you.
Yeah. My dad always told me that he would say, son, being a pastor is the highest calling. And in Zambia, I spent 2 weeks teaching pastors, future pastors. And while I was teaching one day, I sensed the Lord say in my spirit, if pastoring is the highest calling, surely there's value in training pastors to do the work of ministry. And I knew at that point.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I'll tell you this. We're praying for you guys, praying for your family, the entire family. For you specifically, Jonathan and Wendy Baker, preparing to go to South Africa to serve the Lord there. You're in our prayers, and we're excited for you. And hopefully, at some point, we can connect while you're there and see what life is like for you then. But thank you so much for listening today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions.